Thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus. And we thank you for what God has already done for us. And we thank you for your promises, Father. So, Lord, as I minister your word tonight, I thank you for your anointing resting upon me to bring about everything that you want brought about tonight. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. All right. Tonight, I want to talk to you about victory. 2021. Victory in 2021 and beyond. See, we don't want just victory for this year, do we? We want it on and on until Jesus come take us out of here or until we go home to be with him. But I want to talk to you about victory tonight. You know, sometimes you may feel defeated. You may feel like all hope is gone. And, you know, a lot of people have even lost loved ones. Some people have even lost jobs. Different things has gone on since this pandemic has come about. But yet and still, we have hope. We as believers and the children of God, we still have hope. There is still hope. Amen. You know, there's been pandemics before. This pandemic's now, and there may even be some more. We don't know. But through it all, God will keep us. Through it all, he wants us to have the victory. Amen. And he wants us just to fall back on him. Fall back on what we know. That's the importance of putting the word of God inside of us. That's the importance of having that word so that when we face different issues and different situations in our lives, we will have something that we can draw off of. But God loves us no matter what's going on. I want you to know that God loves us. And you know, sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. I have to talk to myself sometimes in a good way. We have to go to that mirror, look in and say, listen, you have the victory. God has already provided for you. You don't have to accept sickness in your body. You don't have to accept these things because you have already, God has already made a way for us. It's easy sometimes where I just don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. So-and-so had that same thing. She had them same symptoms. Oh, Lord, wonder if that's what's wrong with me. I just wonder if that's what it is. No, we're going to stand on the word of God. And we choose to speak the word of God. Let's look at Psalm 118, verse 14. In the New Living Translation. Psalm 118, verse 14. You know, it's a blessing to look out and see you guys turning your pages, to see you guys with your cell phones or whatever, following along, because we don't always have to be dependent upon the screens. We need to have it right in front of us. Amen? Okay, so verse 14 in Psalm 118 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me what? Victory. He has given me victory. So see, he has already made it available to us. Victory is available to us all because of what Jesus Christ did. What's the definition for victory? Victory, the overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist, an endeavor against odds or difficulties. So we all face difficulties sometimes. We all have different things we have to deal with, but God has already given us the victory. Can y'all say that? God has already given us, given me the victory. See, we have a legal right to walk in that victory. We have a legal right. Just like whenever you see a police officer, I don't care how long that line of traffic may be, all he has to do is just step out, raise his hand, because he has authority, and all that traffic has to stop because he has authority. Now, I want to remind you all of something. I want to say this. Back in 19... and 73. August 4th, matter of fact, 1973, August the 4th. Well, Amina, I know you're going to remember it, and I know he will. August the 4th, 1973, at 5:30 p.m. on a Saturday. Guess what happened to me? Guess what happened to me? I became Miss Catherine Mungo Redfern. That's what happened to me. Ooh, what a happy day. Oh, happy day. You know that song you can say. But do you know what happened? I had a legal right. I signed my name, Catherine Mungo Redfern. That gave me a legal right to everything that Sergeant James Redfern Jr. of the United States Air Force owned, what he had, what he owned, and everything else he's gonna own. I had a legal right. I had a legal right to his bank account. Woo! I had a legal right to drive that Mustang. Woo! 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 I had a legal right. I had a legal right to my ID card so I could go and come on Seymour Johnson Air Force Base whenever I wanted to. I had a right, a little sticker on the front of our Mustang that I could go on base and come when I wanted to. I had a legal right. Now, that's just how it is whenever we accept Jesus in our lives. We have a legal right to victory. Now, it was left up to me whether or not I'd drive the car. It was left up to me whether or not I'd write a check off our $100 that was in our bank account. No, I'm joking. But it was left up to me to partake of what was made available to me. Because see, back on August the 3rd, 1973, you think they were going to let me on Seymour Johnson Air Force Base? No. Do you think I could go to the bank and draw out any money? No. But as of August the 4th, I could, because I had a legal right. So that's how it is with us. Once we accept Jesus Christ, we have a legal right. We can look in the face of the devil and say, no, 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 I got a right to this. You're not taking my joy. You're not taking my peace. I got a legal right. We have that legal right. So when we change our lives, when we decide to turn around and turn to Jesus, give him our heart, live for him, and serve him with all of our heart, that gives us all the benefits that's in this word. That's in the Bible. Every promise belongs to me. Every promise, the healings, the victories, the everything that I need is mine. But I gotta partake of it, don't I? I love 12-layer chocolate cake. However, how many layers they are, I love it. I like it. But you know what? Every one of you could bring me a cake and line it all right here. I could have 12 cakes, 12 layer cakes right here. But if I don't ever eat it, I mean, you know, that's not gonna help me, is it? I mean, no, you know, we can't eat too much, but I'm just saying, I have to partake of what's made available to me. And so that's what I am saying to you all tonight. We have to reach out and partake of what God has already made available. We have to choose. I had to choose to drive the car. I had to choose to write a check. I had to choose to do those things. So it was available to me, so I took advantage of it. So now let's look at Hebrews 4. And we can apply the word to every need or obstacle that we face. You know, sometimes there may be things that we face and it's like, well, I don't think I'm going to apply the word to that. I'll just kind of like work it out myself. No, 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 no. He wants us to apply the word of God to it. So let's just look at Hebrews 4:14 through 16. And I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. Some of you may have different translation. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold firmly to what we believe. We have to hold firmly to some things, don't we? Amen. We can't waver. We got to hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Isn't that good to know? He understands us. He even loves us in our weaknesses. He even loves us when we miss it. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly. How do we come to the throne of God? Boldly. Do we come timid? No. We come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive what? His mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And we could read it like this. There we will receive mercy. There we will receive his mercy. And we will find victory to help us when we need it most. See, when we go to him, we find everything we need. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Everything we need. So tonight, what am I saying to you all? Whatever you need, go to him. Call on him. Go to him and expect it, because it's been made available to you. We can just walk right up to him and receive it. We can just walk right up to him. That's how easy it is. Sometimes we make the word, and I have done this myself, I have made it just so hard to receive things from God. It's just like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, knowing that you need his peace, or knowing that there's a need that need to be met, and you're trying to figure it out. You stay awake at night trying to figure out how to make it work. You're just trying to figure it out, figure it out, figure it out. No, I've learned, and it took a while, but I've learned to give it to him. Cast all my cares over on him. Why? Because he cares for me. And is it easy to go to sleep sometimes at night when you're trying to figure things out? No. It's not. I mean, you know, sometimes we as Christians can put up this air that, everything's cool and everything's fine and I have no issues and I have no struggles and I don't have to deal with anything, so I'm just good. Sometimes that might be the case, but a lot of times it's not. So to be real with you, yes, we do have issues. Yes, we do have to deal. Yes, we do struggle. Yes, we do lay awake at night. Is it right? No. But we do it, don't we? Yes. Don't we do it? Yes. Can y'all identify with that? Yes. You know, I mean, I'm saying this because sure, spirit filled, tongue talking, we believe God, filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet and still, there are some areas in our lives that the devil will try and make us feel defeated in. So that's when we have to go to him, go to Jesus, and say, now, Jesus, I know you've already made a way. You see the big picture. It's already worked out. So I refuse to lay here awake tonight and worry any more about this issue. So, Father, with everything in me, God, I'm giving it to you. And I'm trusting you. See, we have to trust him when we can't even see our way. We have to trust God. Whenever we take, when we take a flight, we trust that pilot. We trust him. He can't see a thing once he gets up there. A lot of you have flown before, and when you get up there, all you see is clouds. It's like clouds, white cotton, just clouds. Can't see a thing. But you know what? I trust that pilot that he's going to get me safely where I need to be. Could I see, leaving from Oklahoma, could I see Charlotte? No. Could I see Florence? No. But I knew that pilot knew how to get us to that airport, and the next pilot knew how to get us to the next airport, and I believed God. And guess what? We got to our destination safely. So that's how it is with us being children of God. We're going to get to our destination. Can't see your way all the time, but just know the one that does know the way. The one that is Jesus is seeing the way. So all we got to do is just walk with him. Just walk with him. Oh, I got this. Come on, I got this. He has it. But we already have the victory. So we are going to do what? Walk in our victory. We're going to walk in what we know. So now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 in the New Living Translation. I love God. Y'all love God. Y'all love his word tonight. I love his word. I love his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, "But thank God, he gives us victory." But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, he gives us victory. So I want you to say that tonight. But thank God, he gives me victory. Say it one more time. He gives me victory. And you know, whenever you say it enough, and you feel it from way, way, way deep down in that spirit man there, it makes a difference. It does to me. It makes a difference. You know, he gives me victory. He gives me victory. He gives me victory. But when I say he gives me victory, it makes a big difference in me. He gives me victory. Jesus gives me victory. So we have the victory. Now let's look at Romans 8, chapter, verse 35 through 38. And I tell you what, during this pandemic and all these things that's going on, it's been a sifting, and it's been a shaking, and everything that could have been shaken has been shaken. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But guess what? We, as the people of God, we don't have to give in to all that, do we? We don't have to be shaken. We can stand on the word of God. So even when we go through things and when we miss it, or when it seems as if we failed, or when it seems as if we didn't have the victory, look at what verse 35 says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? No. No, 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 no. We're not going to allow it, are we? We're not going to let it. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? No. Or persecuted? No. Or hungry? No. Or destitute? Or in danger? Or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. But no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through who? Through Christ, who loves us. So look at verse 38. See, we have to be convinced of some things, don't we? We have to know that God's going to do what he says. I am convinced. How many of you are convinced tonight? I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate me from God's victory. Nothing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. None of those things can separate me from the love of God. None of it. None of it. And I believe that you feel the same way. And I'm trying to get to my second page here. Not even powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to make a declaration. We have to declare some things. We have to know that we know that we know we have the victory. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're even facing, we still have the victory because Jesus Christ has made it available for us. So we still have the victory. Now, I just wrote down a few things here, ways to have surpassing victory in our lives. These are some ways to have a surpassing victory in our lives. And there are others, but I just came up with a few. Number one, we have to know him as Lord, don't we? See, we need Jesus to fight for us. He's already made it available. So we have to receive him as our Lord and our Savior. Partner up with him, connect up with him. So we have to know him as Lord. In other words, born again. In other words, just starting all over. Turning from the old, and now we're from our old man, now we are coming to Jesus Christ. That's one way. Another way is develop a prayer life. We have to learn to pray. We have to have a prayer life. And I'm going to tell you this. I thought a prayer life consisted of this. I thought that this is what a prayer life consisted of. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to have to go pray for like 30 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes when I get up in the morning. Okay, when it's time to go to bed at night, I thought I was going to have to pray another 10 or 15 minutes. Now, I didn't think nothing about praying during the day. I just thought that my prayer life, I thought, consisted of just praying when your feet hit the floor and when you take them off the floor to get into bed. That's what I thought prayer life was all about. But you know what set me free? When my husband started talking to me about praying and we would pray and we would talk about the things of God, I realized I could pray all day long. And I'm not talking about, you know, getting out of bed and standing on my knees all day praying. I'm talking about getting up, washing my face. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Go brush my teeth. God, you're so good. Putting your clothes on. Lord, thank you for watching over us today. Thank you for protecting us and taking care of us. That's creating a prayer life. So I was making it so hard and long and drawn out when it's supposed to just be just as prayer is just as simple as just having a conversation with Jesus. Just like I'm having a conversation with you all tonight. We'll ride home tonight and we'll have a conversation. You all will go home tonight and y'all will have a conversation with each other. I'll talk to our children after church tonight. We'll have conversation. That's how it is. Our prayer life is just a conversation with Jesus, just making time for him. Confess the word of God. We have to confess what we know, don't we? But we have to know something before we can confess it, don't we? So that's the importance of coming to Bible study, coming to church, having your Bible, having some scripture to read so that you can put these things on the inside of you. So that when different things comes about, we can start confessing the word of God. You know, I remember one time I was having some issues with my neck, and the devil was telling me, well, you know, it's a blood clot. That's what it is. Now this is actually the conversation that was going on between me and the devil. Can I be real with y'all? This is the conversation that was going on. All I had really was some pulled muscles or something that was going on in my neck. But the devil was trying to convince me and tell me that I had a blood clot. And he even told me where it was. He said it was right there. It's right there. And he said, now it's going to probably pop any minute, and then it's just going to go poof, and then you're going to be out of here. I thought to myself, wait a minute. Devil, who do you think you are? And I'm telling you what, there I stand for a second or two listening to him. It's like, no. I had to pull myself together and let him know, you are a defeated foe. You are a liar. I will not have a stroke. I do not have a blood clot in my neck. So, I mean, we have to talk like that. We have to confess some things. But I needed to know the word of God, because the word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, he has given me a wholeness. He's given me peace. He's made all these things available to me. So when I started having pain, I started speaking to that pain and not listening to what the devil was telling me. Amen. So confess the word of God. Spend time in the word of God. Ooh, this is a biggie. Spend time in the word of God. Spend time in the word of God. So your question may be, how much time do I have to spend? It's as much as you need. You know what you need from God. So you spend that much time. You spend that much time in the word. But to make it simple for you, find you a scripture. Find you a scripture. And I like to say, whatever our pastor preaches on Sunday and Wednesdays, write those scriptures down. Take your Bible and you go over those scriptures over and over and over. And you read in that scripture and you're reinforcing everything that our pastor gives us on Sunday. You're going to reinforce it on Monday. You're going to reinforce it on Tuesday. However, how often you want to read those scriptures, because you're putting it on the inside. Putting it on the inside of you so you will have something to fight with. Amen? So spend time in the Word of God, going over the scriptures that he gives us on Sunday. That's a very easy way to start. Amen? Spending time in the Word of God. The next one is, you know, in order to have victory, the Word of God says, give and it shall be given to us. Will be given back to us. What? Good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and running over. So therefore, what I'm saying, to have victory in our finances, we need to make sure that we give our tithe and our offering to God, so that we will have a reason to let the devil know, I give my tithe and I give my offering. Now you take your hands off what belongs to me. So we need to give tithe and offering. So let's don't tip him. Let's give tithe and offering, okay? Another way to have surpassing victory is attend church. Get involved. Stay in unity. Walk in love. Love walk is so, so important. It's so important that we have that love walk, because we don't want anything hindering the blessings that God wants to send to us. We don't want to close any doors, do we, on the blessings that God has for us just because we choose not to like somebody. Everybody's not like us. Everybody's not like you. Everybody's not like me. So what gives us the right that we think that we can just kind of treat people any kind of way and not love them? Do I want anybody, you know, I have to ask myself, why do I want somebody to do that for, treat me like that? No. We treat others, as my mom would say, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That's what she would always say to us. So, you know, watch our love walk and live a holy lifestyle unto God. Live a holy lifestyle. You know, you don't hear a lot about holiness now, because sometimes people might think holiness is what you wear and what you got on and all of that. And we should dress modest and all of that. But a holy lifestyle is living pleasing. Let your lifestyle please God. And the way you can judge that is, it's very simple. What I'm doing, is this pleasing to God? You know, how I'm living, is this pleasing to God? Now, if I'm laying up with someone and we shacking up or whatever, is that pleasing to God? No. Is lying pleasing to God? No. And now it's income tax season, isn't it? Y'all know what that means, don't you? The more dependents you have, the more money you might get back. So, be careful what you put down for your income tax. Just because, we have Polly the parrot in the kitchen and we feed Polly the parrot, and it takes a lot of money to feed Polly the parrot. So I'm putting Polly down on my income taxes too. And I decided to put Buddy, I think I'm gonna add him to it. Buddy, the golden retriever, because he eats a lot of food. So, we have to just, and sometimes it's just in them little areas that we overlook sometimes. Because I've heard of people just kind of putting different people on their income taxes so they can get more money back. And some of them not people, some of them are their pets. So whatever we do, let it be pleasing to God. I mean, it's real. All we got to do is just, God, what I'm doing, is this pleasing you? That's all we got to ask ourselves. So live a holy lifestyle. If we miss it, hey, ask God to forgive us. And what do? Get back on track, right? Get back on track. So now let's look at Jude 24. Amen. Jude 24, New Living, the New Living Translation. And a lot of times we use this for closing scriptures, but I want to bring this out to you tonight. Jude 24, only one chapter, verse 24. And I might go on to verse 25, okay? Jude 24 and 25. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away, and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. Ooh. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, authority are his before all time, in the presence, and beyond all time. Now that's a mighty God that we serve, isn't it? And now to him who's able to keep us. Look at verse 25. And now to him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his presence, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh, celebrating to our one God, our only Savior. He's our only Savior, isn't he? Through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, strength, and rule before all time, and now, and to the end of all time. We serve a good God. But I want to go back up to verse 24. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away. He's able to keep us. He is able to keep us. So since he's able to keep us, he wants us to walk in victory. He's keeping us to walk in victory. It's his will for us to walk in victory. It is his promise to us through the word of God that he will never let us fall. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's right there to give us victory each in every time. Do y'all believe that tonight? Amen. Do you receive it tonight? Amen. Yes. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Father God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you tonight. You have given us victory, Father God. You have given us victory. You have given us victory. Victory belongs to us. Like that song they sang, victory belongs to Jesus. And it belongs to you too, and it belongs to me. Thank the Lord. So I want you all, when you leave this place tonight, go out walking in victory. Go out walking in the victory of the Lord. The victory. Go out in victory. I'm ready. Okay. Do we have anybody here tonight that don't know Jesus? Okay. And to the viewing audience as well. If some of you may not know this Jesus that I'm talking about, you may not have ever even experienced what love and joy and peace that he can give to you. I want to just present him to you tonight. If you've never known him as Lord and Savior, tonight is your night. Today is your day. Tonight is your night. We give you an opportunity to receive him. And also, if some of you have walked away, we give you an opportunity.